Nearly 20,000 Texans are still without power today. Freezing cold temperatures arrived last weekend, overwhelming their power grid, leaving millions of people in the dark for much of the week. In addition, as of this morning, more than 1,200 public water systems were reporting disruptions in service, affecting more than 8.7 million people. Most of those people are under boil water notices. Here in Wisconsin, the agency that focuses on emergency preparedness says the state is ready to handle that kind of disaster. But that doesn't mean a long-term power outage can't happen to you, so it's important to have a plan. You can tell us about yours if you have one at 800-642-1234. What is in your emergency kit? Does everyone in your household know what to do if the lights go dark? Have you been in a situation where you were caught without power or clean water for a long period of time? Do you have, or are you thinking about getting a generator? What questions do you have about being prepared? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Andrew Beckett is the public information officer for Ready Wisconsin. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, our thoughts, of course, are with people down in Texas. Hopefully things are recovering soon there. As someone who works in emergency preparedness, seeing what's going on in Texas, what kind of things does that put on your mind?
Well, you know, it's obviously heart-wrenching to see the photos and hear the stories about how the outage has affected those people living in Texas. You know, emergency management officials have discussed and tried to plan for the effect of a widespread power outage like that. You know, some of those impacts, such as disruptions to water systems, access to food, safe places to seek shelter. You know, however, the sheer scale of what happened in Texas and the overwhelming demand for resources in the aftermath of that outage highlight why it's important to make sure that you have a plan in place. Floods, tornadoes, severe winter storms, severe summer storms can all disrupt the electric grid, and it can take a few days for help to get fully mobilized and for services to be restored. So knowing what to do and having supplies on hand to help keep you safe is critical.
We'll get into some of the plans that anybody could put into effect. Something that Texas has really highlighted to me is there's a lot of people out there, Andrew, who rely on electricity for medical devices, often critical medical devices that help keep them alive. How important is it for those people, their caregivers, they have them, relatives, maybe even health providers, to be thinking what happens if the power goes down?
You know, a lot of that comes down to having that personal plan in place. You know, those with disabilities, medical conditions, mobility issues, anything that is reliant or at risk of having its service disrupted because of a power outage, you know, you need to start thinking in advance about having a backup plan in place. What are you going to do if you can't recharge that device in your home? You don't want to be waiting until the need becomes too critical to act and you're actually putting your life or someone in your care at risk because you don't know what to do. So if you have a family member or yourself or a neighbor with special needs, you want to make sure that you're thinking in advance about what they're going to do in the event that there were a long-term power outage that would require some action.
I've seen people make the case that one of the best things you can do to plan, again, before a disaster, isn't just about, you know, the physical stuff you have in your place, but knowing your neighbors, knowing who they are, how to reach each other, knowing, having that mental list of maybe family members or friends who need a check-in when things are tough, when they might have that power outage of their own. How much? Go ahead, Andrew.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. How important is that we have that sort of social connection in mind as we get ready for a disaster?
Well, you know, community planning is a huge part of preparedness and making sure that you have that plan in place. You know, a good emergency plan focuses on a number of different areas. And really, you know, you can't plan for every eventuality, but you can work to adapt to the circumstances of a disaster. You know, identifying the common risks in your community and around your home and knowing what resources are in place in order to address those issues. You know, if there's a common place, for example, with flooding, that sandbags are usually available in your community, know in advance where those kinds of resources are going to be offered if there were a risk to your property. Knowing where the shelters are, what organizations are going to offer that kind of assistance normally. Is the Red Cross active? Is it the Salvation Army? Is someone else in your community the usual resource for that? And then, of course, having an emergency communication plan in place for your family, you know, including contacts for each other. Having a hard copy of that on your person, in a backpack, in the wallet, in a purse, as well as having a contact designated outside your area so that if it's difficult to get in touch locally, you might be able to get a message out and relay it through a person who's in another area that may not be affected by the outage. You know, power outages can disrupt cell networks, so making a call may not be fully reliable. We always encourage people to send text messages instead of calling in an emergency, because a text message is more likely to go through. But you want to make sure that you have those plans in place and know how to get in touch with each other and know who you need to check in with, so that if there is that sort of disruption, you're getting the information available and getting the information to each other in order to remain safe.
We're talking about the best ways to prepare for a long-term power outage. Millions of people in Texas were without electricity and water last week after frigid winter weather overwhelmed the grid there. Some are still without power and remain under boil water advisories. Andrew Beckett stays with us from Ready, Wisconsin. Andrew, let's get into some practical tips. What kind of things do we want in our kind of a home emergency power outage kit?
Well, sure. So really, an emergency kit is something that you should have for all eventualities, whether it be power outages or any sort of emergency that may strike. You know, some of the key items in there are supplies of non-perishable foods, things that require minimal preparation and aren't going to spoil easily, so that, you know, if bad weather's in the forecast and you were to lose power, you're able to continue getting, feeding your family. You know, and maybe adding a little extra if you're expecting bad weather in the forecast. In addition to that, you want to make sure that you have plenty of water on hand. You know, whether that's, as some people did in Texas, filling the bathtub when there was the possibility of power going out and maybe losing water service, or just keeping gallon jugs somewhere safe in your home. You know, really, you need about a gallon of water per person per day in your family. That's to cover all needs, including drinking, cooking, personal hygiene. You don't want to forget pets either. And really, we encourage people to have about a 72-hour supply on hand at all times, so that if there is something were to occur, you know, it can take a couple of days for help to get there, for service to be restored. Really, we ask that 72 hours really be the bare minimum you consider. In addition to that, you want to make sure that you have a way to get updated information, especially in a power outage. You know, cellular networks and TV may be disrupted. Access to recharging mobile devices could be difficult. You want to make sure you have something like a battery-operated solar or hand-cranked radio, something that can be used to tune into local radio stations, many of which will still be able to broadcast on generator power during an extended power outage. You know, on that same vein, you want to make sure that items like first aid kits, flashlights, extra batteries, snacks, copies of critical personal documents. And something that came up a lot in Texas, you know, a stash of emergency cash in your home is not a bad idea. Digital payment options, ATMs, may not be available during a widespread outage. So keeping a little bit of cash somewhere stocked in a safe place at home may not be a bad idea.
Let's talk about one safety element that seems to come up when these things happen in wintertime, Andrew, and that's things like carbon monoxide poisoning, people trying to use improvised heating devices or generators where they shouldn't. What are some of the safety guidelines for that?
You know, generators can be an important tool, and they are something that's worth looking at if you think your needs would support having one, but you got to keep safety in mind. You want to make sure you know how to operate that device safely and within its limits. You want to make sure the limitations are being observed and that they're properly installed, and that you want to make sure that routine maintenance is being done, you know, cycling the fuel, testing them regularly. Portable generators especially should be operated in well-ventilated places. You want to avoid carbon monoxide and fire concerns that can be associated with them. You know, if your heat does go out, obviously with some of the weather we saw recently here in Wisconsin, especially with those extreme negative temperatures, it can be very dangerous in your home. But you don't want to use something like a gas oven, a grill, a propane heater to warm up your home. They can pose serious risks of carbon monoxide poisoning or create a fire hazard. Those devices are usually not designed for home heating in mind, and not having them properly vented can cause that gas to build up in your home. You know, if you don't already have one, or if you haven't checked it recently, carbon monoxide detector is something that you should have in your house. Those devices really should be replaced about every 5 years, and the batteries need to be replaced regularly as well. Don't wait until it starts putting off the warning beep. You want to make sure that annually you're checking those devices and replacing batteries and replacing them if they're old.
We've been talking about kind of individual household preparedness, Andrew. Can you talk about how the state as a whole is prepared in a way, hopefully that doesn't have most of the state losing power at the same time as so much of Texas did.
Sure. So, of course, Wisconsin's no stranger to widespread power outages. You know, it was less than 2 years ago that a major storm system swept through central Wisconsin and knocked out power to thousands of people, some for several days. You know, electricity is something that we rely on for just about everything, and outages can be dangerous even in the middle of a Wisconsin summer. So it's important to always be prepared for the unexpected. Planning for a widespread power outage has long been a focus of emergency management in Wisconsin, and the state's participated in multiple exercises to test the plans that have been developed. You know, this includes participation in the GridX series and a full-scale statewide dark sky exercise that occurred in 2018. Dark Sky, over 1,000 people who work for state, local, and federal government agencies, along with volunteer organizations, utility partners, private sector businesses, practice the response to a simulated widespread outage. And that planning really never stops. It's likely in the event of Texas that will lead to additional reviews and possible changes going forward.
And Andrew, if people want some resources to help them prepare for disasters or of whatever sort, what kind of resources are out there online and otherwise?
Well, you can find a number of tips from us in terms of how to build your own kit, how to make emergency plans with your family at readywisconsin.wi.gov. We also encourage people to always check in with the Federal Emergency Management Agency for resources at fema.gov. And of course, keep tabs on what the weather is expected to be in Wisconsin through local media, as well as through your local National Weather Service office, which you can find at weather.gov.
We'll leave it there. Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
Andrew Beckett is the Public Information Officer for Ready Wisconsin. We talked to him about how we can prepare our households for long-term power outages.